fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The 2017 African Footballer of the Year had a big game for Liverpool, as we hear now from Prince Nesta in his wrap of the weekend European club action. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Liverpool's destroyer-in-chief, Mo Salah, scored a hat-trick as Liverpool ran riot with a comprehensive 4-0 victory at Bournemouth. The Egyptian, straight from being named in the sixth place in the 2018 Ballon d'Or Awards, struck in both halves at the Vitality Stadium to send Liverpool to top of the Premier League table. The 26-year-old Strebo also put him on 10 goals for the season, matching Arsenal's Gabonese striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang at the top of the scoring charts that he dominated last season. The Reds have taken 45 points from the past 51 on offer and unbeaten in 17 league games in a run that stretches back to last season. Goals from N'Golo Kante and David Luiz inflicted Manchester City's first loss of the Premier League season as Chelsea beat their rivals 2-0 at Stamford Bridge. The win ended City's 21-game unbeaten run in the league, stretching back into last season when Pep Guardiola's side won the title with 100 points.
The result is the result, so we have to analyze the result. It's fair because they scored 2 goals, we didn't score. Congratulations, Chelsea, for the victory. We came here for an idea. It's happened. So we make a very, very good first half. And unfortunately, we conceded a goal, the only chance they had. They are so a strong team in front, in the middle, and back. And the second half, the first 18 minutes, they were better than us. But after that, the first half and the last 25 minutes, we are fantastic. And it's a joy for me, like as a manager.
Chelsea's win moves them into fourth on 34 points, ahead of Arsenal on goal difference, after the Gunners beat Huddersfield Town 1-0 with a belated and brilliant Lucas Torreira bicycle kick. Tottenham Hotspurs also strolled to a fifth win in 6 league games with a 2-0 victory at Leicester City to reclaim third spot, 6 points off leaders Liverpool. Spurs took a 1-0 lead into halftime after Son struck in stoppage time with a brilliant curling effort from outside the area. Son later turned provider in the 58th minute as his cross picked out Dele Alli, who headed in Spurs' second.
Prince, still with the weekend Premier League results, I see Manchester United won by a comfortable margin against Fulham. I'm guessing that victory provided Man U's manager, Jose Mourinho, some much-needed relief.
That's right, Sonny. Manchester United finally ended a run of 4 Premier League games without a win after months of struggles and recrimination. I must also admit that Manchester United finally delivered a performance worthy of their shirt by beating Fulham 4-1 at Old Trafford. Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku ended a run of almost 1,000 minutes without a competitive goal at Old Trafford by netting Manchester United's third. Ashley Young, Yuan Mata and Marcus Rashford were also on the score sheet. The victory also moves the Red Devils up to 6th in the table.
Prince, let's go to France now. There didn't seem to be the usual number of weekend matches. What happened there?
Yes, Sonny. Half of this weekend's French League soccer matches were postponed amid security concerns about anti-government protests across the country. Matches that were affected actually include Angers against Bordeaux, Monaco versus Nice, Saint-Étienne against Marseille, Paris Saint-Germain against Montpellier, and Toulouse against Lyon. The matches were postponed at the request of the police due to the continued unrest affecting parts of the country, and the French government has been diverting police resources to deploy extra security around the country to help contain demonstrations that have been going on against fuel tax rises and other grievances and have already resulted in rioting, looting, and hundreds of injuries. Nevertheless, Sonny, a few matches still went on as scheduled. French-born Ivorian professional footballer Nicolas Pepe underlined his growing importance in Lille's quest for a lucrative Champions League place with a last-gasp penalty in a 1-1 home draw against Reims. Lille now moves to second, 2 points ahead of Montpellier, who have a game in hand. Strasbourg were also held 2-2 at home by struggling Caen.
Prince, how are things shaping up in Spain's La Liga?
Goals from forward Nikola Kalinic, Antoine Griezmann, and midfielder Rodrigo Hernandez stretched Atletico Madrid's impressive unbeaten streak in the Spanish Football League with a 3-0 home victory over Deportivo Alaves. Atletico is now in the third position with 28 points, 3 points behind leaders Barcelona, who defeated Espanyol 4-0. Lionel Messi scored 2 direct free kicks in a single La Liga game for the first time, with French striker of Malian descent Ousmane Dembele and Luis Suarez also adding to the tally. Sevilla drew 1-1 at Valencia, while Gareth Bale ended his goalless run to earn Real Madrid a 1-0 win over last-placed Huesca. The win moves Los Blancos to fourth in the table and back within 5 points of league leaders Barcelona. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta talked about Mo Salah's hat trick for Liverpool over the weekend. While Salah scored 2 goals for Egypt at this year's World Cup, I don't think Mo has the greatest memories of Russia 2018. Salah injured his shoulder in the 2018 UEFA Champions League final in Kiev, where Liverpool lost to Real Madrid 3-1. Then there were big question marks about whether Mo Salah would even play at the World Cup. He did not play in Egypt's first World Cup match, a 1-0 loss to Uruguay. The Pharaohs of Egypt also lost their next 2 World Cup matches against host Russia and Saudi Arabia, a painful exit for a team making its first World Cup appearance since 1990. And while Egypt and Mo Salah might not look back fondly on the 2018 World Cup, the year began on a triumphant note for Mo Salah. He was named the 2017 African Footballer of the Year during festivities in Accra, Ghana. In this Sunny Side of Sports year-end highlight, let's go back to early January when reporter Samson Omale filed this report on the African Football Awards ceremony.
The winner is Mohamed Salah.
Congratulations to our CAF African Footballer of the Year.
That was how Liverpool star and Egyptian forward Mohamed Salah was named the 2017 CAF Footballer of the Year ahead of his club teammate Sadio Mane and Borussia Dortmund's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who came in third.
It's an honor to be nominated and be between these 2 great players tonight.
And Borussia Dortmund's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
I feel very, very good and very happy to be here. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, maybe. I think this time, less pressure.
Mo Salah dedicated his award to the children of Africa who wants to live out their dreams.
Winning this award is a dream come true. 2017 was an unbelievable year for me. I had a fantastic time with the national team and with the team to qualify to the World Cup after 28 years and to had a great season with the club, with Rome and with Liverpool. And I want to dedicate this award for all the kids in Africa and in Egypt and tell them never stop dreaming, never stop believing. Thank you.
From Abuja, Nigeria, it's Samson Omale for the Sunny Side of Sports.
For more on the CAF Awards 2017, we turn to our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori.
Mohamed Salah of Egypt was crowned African Player of the Year 2017. The CAF Awards ceremony held at the Accra International Conference Center was beamed live to millions across the globe and had Ghana President Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo as special guest of honor. Nana Addo was presented with one of the two Platinum Awards, and the other went to football icon George Weah, now President of Liberia. At the CAF Awards was Nigerian football legend Victor Ikpeba. Ikpeba, the 1997 CAF African Player Award winner, commended CAF.
No, it's fantastic bringing all Africans together, bringing past winners here. Can't forget about the past. Without the past, we wouldn't be here today. And I want to commend CAF, the new CAF president, you know. Well done. Keep it up. And congratulations to Salah. Well deserved. Any of these three could have won it, you know. So it's been a special event from the football family in Africa. So it shows African football has come of age.
Were you satisfied with the winner of the ultimate?
No, definitely satisfied. It could have been Mane, it could have been Pierre. These three players have been three of the best African players this year. We know the other players are doing a good job. So at the end of the day, it will be one winner. But at the end of the day, I think African football is the winner.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori at the Accra International Conference Center.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Mohamed Salah told reporters in Accra he has big goals and will strive to get even better.
Since I came as a professional, in my mind, I want to be the best player ever in Egypt, in the history. So I know what I want. I know how to do it. I'm working hard every day, improving myself. So that's what I want. So I think I'm going well. I'm doing well at the moment. So I'm going to see even in the future, this one and next one and next one.
That's Egypt and Liverpool star Mohamed Salah speaking at the African Football Awards ceremony in early January 2018 in Accra, Ghana. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More football news. The draw was held over the weekend for next year's Women's World Cup in France. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. 6 months ahead of the 2019 Women's World Cup kickoff, the United States is already favored to lift the trophy for a fourth time and defend their World Cup title. In 2015, the U.S. beat Japan 5-2 in the World Cup final in Canada. On Saturday, they drew with Thailand, Chile, and Sweden in Group F, and that suits U.S. head coach Jill Ellis just fine.
It's a good group. I think it gives us three very different teams. A couple teams in there we haven't played a lot. So I think it's a good, and it's a good opening game for us to kind of get the nerves out. You know, I have the tremendous respect for these teams. They wouldn't be here if they're not quality opponents, so I'm not prejudging anything. We've got to get results, and we got to play well to get results.
And good results need to come in particular with their match against Sweden, familiar foes to the U.S. on the soccer field. The two teams have been opponents in the past four FIFA Women's World Cup group stages, with USA holding a 3-1-1 record against Sweden in five previous World Cup games. Peter Gerhardsen is the new coach for Sweden, and he says despite his country's history with the United States, he's confident his team can deliver Sweden's first World Cup title.
I heard about the history, so I know the history, but for me it's a new country to meet, and it's a new team, and I'm looking forward. So it's always an experience to meet new teams, and for me it's new to meet USA, and I know it's one of the best team in the world. And but in the pot one, we have meet Canada, we have meet France, we have meet England. So I think it was pretty good to get them and get them in the third game. I think that's we'll see where we are there. hopefully we have two victories, and I think USA also going to have two victories. So it's going to be an interesting game.
The showdown between Sweden and the U.S. will be the last in Group A, so the USA team will know in advance whether they need a victory or a draw to win the group. However, head coach Jill Ellis says either way, the Americans are up for the challenge against the Swedes.
I think they're a team that's sort of hard to beat, meaning how they play. I think they've got a good balance of sort of newer players. They've got a new coach, and obviously they have the some experienced players that have been there a lot, many, many times. So, you know, I think we are a different team than when we last played Sweden. So I think that it's going to be an exciting challenge for us.
Their final match of the group will be held in Le Havre, France. And speaking of France, the country is hosting the tournament for the first time and automatically sealed the first slot in Group A, along with South Korea, Norway, and Nigeria. France has never gone beyond the semifinal round at the World Cup, but that hasn't stopped spectators there from embracing women's football. FIFA has reported almost 200,000 tickets have already been sold for next year's event. Sweden's head coach Peter Gerhardsen says France is the perfect location to feature the World Cup and his game against the United States.
I think it's very good that the World Cup is in France, because we played there last year and it was a Monday night. It was 10,000 people in the training game. So I think it's a good host for the World Cup, and it's going to be big interest in the World Cup for FIFA next year. And so it's a good country, and I think games like this, USA Sweden, it's history. Even if I don't have the history, but many people have the history. My players have the history, and it's going to be a big game and interesting game, and of course, important game.
And the match between the U.S. and Sweden won't be the only interesting and important game in the tournament. Here are the rest of the groupings. Group B will see Germany, Spain, China, and South Africa. In Group C, Australia, Brazil, Italy, and Jamaica. Group D will see England, Japan, Scotland, and Argentina. And in Group E, Canada, the Netherlands, New Zealand, and Cameroon. Next year's eighth edition of the FIFA Women's World Cup kicks off in Paris on June 7th. The final will take place in Lyon on July 7th. 6 months to go, and the excitement is already building. More sporting news to come. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Atlanta United FC, which capped an extraordinary first two seasons in Major League Soccer over the weekend by lifting the trophy. That's right, Atlanta defeated the visiting Portland Timbers 2-0 to win the MLS Cup. Venezuelan striker Joseph Martinez, the league's leading scorer and this year's most valuable player in MLS, scored Atlanta's first goal late in the first half. And then Martinez assisted on Argentine defender Franco Escobar's goal early in the second half. In only two seasons in MLS, Atlanta has quickly established itself as the best-supported team in the league. A championship record crowd of more than 73,000 watched the match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, and many of the fans stood from start to finish. It's Atlanta's first big sports championship since the city's Major League Baseball team, the Braves, won the World Series title in 1995. And shortly before Atlanta FC lifted the MLS Cup, the league's commissioner, Don Garber, said, and I quote, "Atlanta is one of the great stories in the history of our league, and in my opinion, one of the great stories in professional sports." Congratulations to Atlanta United FC, the 2018 champions in Major League Soccer.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association action Sunday, the Milwaukee Bucks clipped the wings of the host Toronto Raptors, winning by 5 points. The AP's John Letherby reports from Toronto, Canada.
It was as advertised. Milwaukee edged Toronto by a 104-99 final, trailing by three. Bucks guard Malcolm Brogdon drained back-to-back trays for a 197 lead. The Raptors got that back on a Fred VanVleet layup to trail by one, but Giannis Antetokounmpo put it away with a jump shot with just 12 seconds left to make it 102-99. Antetokounmpo finished with a double-double, 19 points and 19 rebounds.
And it starts from defense. You know, whenever we lose a game and we're about to play a game, we just try to play hard defensively, because that's what we want to be.
Toronto Serge Ibaka led all scorers. He had 22 points. Kawhi Leonard finished with 20 points and 8 rebounds. John Letherby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With that victory in Toronto, the Milwaukee Bucks improved their record to 17 wins and 8 losses. That puts them in first place in the NBA Central Division. The Toronto Raptors, meanwhile, still have the NBA's best record, 21 victories and 7 defeats. In another NBA game Sunday, the New Orleans Pelicans scored a 116-108 road victory against the Detroit Pistons. Jrue Holiday scored 37 points for the Pelicans, and teammate Julius Randle added 28 points. The star big man for New Orleans, Anthony Davis, left the game with a right hip injury after a first quarter collision with Detroit star Blake Griffin. Davis returned to the game early in the third quarter, but he finished with only 6 points. In two more NBA results, the San Antonio Spurs beat the visiting Utah Jazz 110-97, and the host Charlotte Hornets stung the New York Knicks 119-107. Let's take a look at some of the statistical leaders in the NBA. James Harden, the league's reigning most valuable player, he is leading the NBA in scoring. Harden, of course, the star guard for the Houston Rockets, he's averaging 30 points a game. Kevin Durant of the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors, he is second in the league in scoring at 29.1 points a game. And LeBron James, the superstar for the Los Angeles Lakers, is third place in scoring at just over 28 points a game. Who's the leading rebounder in the NBA? Well, it's Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons. He's averaging about 15.5 rebounds per game. And Kyle Lowry, the guard for the Toronto Raptors, he is leading the NBA in assists per game at 10 assists per game. In Women's World Cup news, Gwen was talking about the defending champion USA. Well, the American women have also announced an ambitious 10-game schedule ahead of the 2019 World Cup. The American women will kick off their 2019 schedule on January 19th. With a match in France against France, the Women's World Cup host. And then 3 days later, the American women will play Spain. Also in 2019, the American women have scheduled matches against Japan, England, Brazil, Australia, Belgium, and South Africa as they get ready for the 2019 Women's World Cup. That match against South Africa, by the way, will take place on May 12th, 2019, in Santa Clara, California. That's in Northern California, as the American women get ready to defend their title at the 2019 Women's World Cup. And that wraps up the December 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Daniel Downtown Brown. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of The Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical jam. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the role of political parties in Africa. Is there room for opposition political groups? Does the African citizen have a right to form an independent opinion? Those issues and more on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.